Let's take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We are asking you guys to chime in. What do you want your team to do in the NFL draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on it. Plus, we'll give you some headlines to start the hour. We now know who's going to be on the cover of Madden 21, and it is Lamar Jackson. But he also says he's not worried about anything with the curse. He said, quote, "It's always been a dream of mine since I was a little kid, since I first started playing Madden. It's dope. I have every Madden. To me, to be on the front of it, it's a dream come true." He also said Patrick Mahomes is on the front, and he won Super Bowl MVP. I want that curse. I hope that's a curse. Good perspective by Lamar Jackson, as he will be the cover athlete. When you get that Madden version, you'll notice that many teams have new uniforms. The latest to unveil their new looks, the Chargers give us new uniforms. The powder blue is a start to it, but they've gone from there. Different combinations. Most notably, they put the number on the side of the helmet. I gotta admit, I've been pretty pro a lot of these, and I love the powder blue. I know you're not allowed to say that when you're a Raiders fan. Not a huge fan of these. They didn't really hit me, but to each their own. And lastly, we have a pending lawsuit. Former XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck is suing owner Vince McMahon in federal court, citing wrongful termination after McMahon's decision to close down the league. According to the complaint filed last week in the U.S. District Court in Connecticut, Luck received a termination letter on April 9th. That's a day before McMahon laid off most of the XFL staff and 3 days before the league filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Luck, quote, wholly disputes and rejects the allegations set forth in the termination letter and contends that they are pretextual and devoid of merit. I have no idea what that means, but that sounds really smart. Those are your headlines. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Want to remind everybody about the All-In Challenge. It's a fundraising effort for coronavirus crisis relief. 100% of what's raised benefits organizations providing food to those in need. You can go to allinchallenge.com to see once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences and items to bid on or enter to win. It includes things like designing and calling a play at a Philadelphia Eagles preseason game, batting practice and dinner with Aaron Judge, or you can play horse and sit courtside for a Lakers game with Magic Johnson. Heck, you can go to a Vegas Raiders game with CeCe Sabathia. They got all these out of there. 1,000%. Well, that's too. 100% of the proceeds benefit organizations providing food to those in need. I got to remind everybody too, if you go to the page and you see auction items, some of those are at a price range we'll never be able to afford. I understand that. Look at that. Have some fun. Then go to the enter to win section. It's more like a raffle section. There, it's as simple as a dollar for a raffle ticket. You can buy a bunch of different raffle tickets. You can bid on a bunch of different experiences. Some of them are epic. I mean, you can be in a Scorsese movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. So all sorts of great things there. If you want to participate, learn more about how these organizations help. Do it. Go check out allinchallenge.com. It's a tough time for a lot of us. But if you have the means and you can use just a little bit to help a lot of people and enter yourself to win a really cool experience, it's a great thing to do. Allinchallenge.com. You guys are all in on what you want your teams to do in the draft. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell me what you want, and we'll let you voice your take on what your dream scenario is. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, many of you have called about wide receiver options. You guys know I'm a Raiders fan, and almost every Raiders mock draft has the Raiders taking a wide receiver at number 12. I'm going to be doing a little bit of draft broadcast fun in just a couple of nights with Mina Kimes, Field Yates, Dominique Foxworth, Mike Kulik Jr., myself, and former NFL wide receiver, my friend Harry Douglas. So I thought, what better way to break down some of the wide receivers in advance of all of this than having former NFL wide receiver join us. So, Harry, thanks. I appreciate you coming on. Hope you and your family are safe. I appreciate your time, my friend. So, you've broken down all of these wide receivers. You've been watching film on all of them. Who's the best in your mind?
I'll say it's between CeeDee Lamb and I'll have to say Jerry Jeudy. Those are my top two.
Okay, so that's surprising to me. You don't have Ruggs there. What do you not see in Ruggs?
It's not that what I don't see in Ruggs. It's just that those other two guys are so elusive, and you can barely find weaknesses in their game. You know what I mean? You can line them up anywhere on the field. They're going to be a matchup nightmare versus Ruggs, who is mainly played in the slot a lot more. But you don't see him versus that bump and run as much as you do CeeDee Lamb and part of Jerry Jeudy. You do see it, but just not as much as you see the other guys. And the other guys, You don't have to question anything. With Ruggs, he has the speed. He has the flat-out speed. But in the NFL, speed can get you open only to a certain point. You have to be able to run routes very crisp. You have to know how to, different ways to be able to get open and be quarterback friendly.
We're talking to former NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas. And Harry, I know you've been really deep diving into the wide receivers and really across the draft. So I'm going to make you a GM for a second. You've got a chance to pick up. I'm going to make you the GM there. You will have a wide receiver need, and I'm putting the whole board up to you. Now you have to make the choice between, you said CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy are your top two, or you can just wait and take one of the other wide receivers. In your mind, is it worth, are those two so much better than the rest of the pack that it becomes worth taking a wide receiver at the top of the draft?
If I'm a GM, I'm putting my GM hat on right now. I'm sorry to say this because I love my wide receivers, but I am waiting to the second, third, and fourth round to choose receivers because that's how deep this class is.
Wow. Okay. So when you look at the differences, like how do you find the difference between, let's say, a Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb and some of these other guys like a Chenault or any of the other guys we've been talking about?
Well, Chenault, let's take him for an example just because you mentioned him. He has the injury questions. He's more of a running back built in a wide receiver's. I'll say this. Let me put it to you like this. He runs screen passes. He runs slants. He breaks a lot of tackles versus I'm going to get open with my route running ability. And when you get to the next level, it's only so many speed sweeps and screens and things of that nature that you can run to the point to where now you have to be a prolific receiver to get open because guys in the NFL are not like the corners in the defenses that you see in college. They're much more complex. They do different things. They play different techniques. They disguise coverages up to a maximum level. So you have to be able to have the total package. That's the mental. That's the physical. That's the ability to get through hard times also.
So, Harry, I find it interesting because we had a caller earlier chiming in about the Bengals draft and his dream scenario. We're letting people call in and give their dream scenarios for their favorite team. And his dream scenario for the Bengals was to take Joe Burrow at the top of the first round and then possibly look at a great wide receiver at the top of the second round. When you look at Joe Burrow and then you put him in that Cincinnati offense with AJ Green, is there a wide receiver that you look at and say, man, a great compliment, or the other guy that they need is this person?
Well, first of all, you have to look at, when you look at these teams and you look at their needs, the Cincinnati Bengals don't need a receiver because you franchise tag AJ Green unless you don't have a plan on keeping AJ Green for the long term. But they have AJ Green, they have Boyd, and they have the little speedster that they drafted a couple of years ago that's really, really fast, and Ross. So they don't need a receiver. The Cincinnati Bengals need an offensive line to protect and more guys on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay, so keeping the wide receiver breakdown, we're talking to former NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas. I will be selfish and ask you about, obviously, my beloved Raiders. They're picking at 12 overall. You got John Gruden's offense. You're looking across the board. You're Mike Mayock. You're picking at 12. They're all available to you. Is there one that you think is best for that particular style of offense?
I'll say, surprisingly enough, man, I like he probably won't go in the first round because of the fact that he didn't get the chance to have a pro day and he was injured at the combine. But KJ Hamler, man, these guys better be lucky. KJ Hamler didn't have an opportunity to show his speed and show his elusiveness because when I watch him on film, the young man is explosive. And the kind of offense that I actually see him in is a John Gruden, Los Angeles Rams, the Green Bay Packers, all of those type of offenses fit KJ Hamler's speed and his elusiveness.
So we're talking to former NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. You just mentioned no pro day. What effect does no pro day have for some of these kids that didn't get the opportunity to shine in person?
Well, I'll say it's a juggernaut, man. It's detrimental to what they're trying to do because, like I said, and I was speaking to guys earlier, I think more receivers will be drafted in the first round if they actually had an opportunity to have a pro day because you have guys who are in that first, second round tweener range that was looking forward to their pro day to be able to show their skills because they did not do it at the combine. So this pro day, not being able to have it and allowing these guys to run these times, run these routes for these teams, and have these meetings one-on-one. I know they do the meetings virtually, but it's different, man, when you can just sit in front of a team or a coach and then they explain things to you, and you go out on the field, you execute it, and you go through all the drills. It's a big difference.
We're talking to former NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas. So, Harry, obviously, since we have you on, I got to get your thoughts on one other thing. We've been doing a QB continued series on First Take. Every day they take a look at a different quarterback and team, and they sort of move that conversation forward, looking at what's expected from that quarterback. And it happens to be, lucky for us, that today that quarterback and team is Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, a team that you have a tremendous amount of experience with and you do a lot of work with. So when you look at Matt Ryan, the quarterback, what's your reasonable expectation for Matt this year?
Well, this year, when you look at this team overall, the offensive side of the ball, those guys are loaded. They're possibly going to have 10 to 11 guys on the offense that were first-round draft picks. And for Matt, they have to get the run game back going. Everything goes through the run. When you look at the Kyle Shanahan or Mike Shanahan system, everything starts throughout the run game. You have to get the run game. And they did a great job bringing in Todd Gurley. That's going to help Mike Ryan a lot. They got Hayden Hurst through a trade from Baltimore because you lost one of your better tight ends to free agency to Cleveland. So, but you still have Julio Jones. You have Calvin Ridley. You got guys that can make plays, but you can't be one-dimensional. That's one thing, if we haven't learned anything about the NFL, is that you can't be one-dimensional. And you look at the teams who made the playoffs last year, those guys all ran the football very effectively.
You can follow him on Twitter at HDouglas83, Harry Douglas. And again, you can watch us Thursday night on demand wherever you get your ESPN content. We're going to be reacting to these picks as they go down with Mina Kimes, Mike Golick Jr., Dominique Foxworth, and Field Yates. Harry, as always, man, I appreciate your time and your insight, my friend. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, guys.
Harry Douglas doing great work. And he's been working these wide receivers. I think it was really important to get his breakdown. I want your breakdown, your take. What do you want your favorite team to do in the draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on it. Let's take some of your takes. Scott, in Cleveland, what do you want your favorite team to do in the draft?
Well, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so you can understand my suffering over the last, 20-odd years. But this year, this is the first time in a long time I can remember that the Cleveland Browns do not have a glaring need at quarterback. So my requirements of the guys that sit in that big room, although it may be different now, but my requirement of the folks that are making the picks for the Cleveland Browns this year, first and foremost, is everybody has to be sober. You got to be sober when you're making the picks this year because that little detail is a little questionable. Within the last 10 or 12 years of some of the picks we made, Johnny Manziel, some of the other horrible quarterback picks that the Browns have made. So, aside from being sober, and I think there needs to be a verifiable test for this, aside from being sober, I think the Cleveland Browns have the luxury for the first time in a long time of picking talent. And I think one guy out there that's a fantastic choice for the Browns is the linebacker, and I don't know his name offhand, but the linebacker for Clemson, who's a great coverage guy. And being in the division we're in and having to deal with that quarterback from Baltimore, we need coverage. Mac Wilson can cover a little bit, but this guy from Clemson, I think he's a rare talent. I think if we have to reach a little bit and move up and get that guy, that's what we do. Aside from that, speed. We have some great wide receivers, right, out on the end. But who runs a 4.3? Nobody out there. We don't have them. We got the guy, I believe it was from the Rams, a little tiny guy, a punt return guy. I think he's going to be a great fit for us because he checks off the speed box. But most of all, he's a good punt returner. On the defensive side of the ball for the Cleveland Browns, I don't think you draft a safety. We kind of need a safety, but we addressed that in free agency. I don't think you draft that. So we'll leave that one alone. But cornerback speed, I think you do draft that. And I think there's some available mid-rounds. Believe it or not, with the two guys that we have, they're both kind of built the same way. They're injury-prone. They're slight guys. They're great cover guys, but they get hurt. Both of them got hurt last year. So maybe we pick up another corner. Edge rushers, I think we've got one side, obviously, with Myles Garrett packed in. The other side is a question mark. If one's available, pick them. If not, back to speed.
Well, and I love what you're saying. Best available athlete. I don't think there's the linebacker you're referring to is Isaiah Simmons. And to me, there's just zero chance Isaiah Simmons is available at 10. I'd be shocked if Isaiah Simmons makes it past 4. I mean, I would be shocked. And any team that moves up for Isaiah Simmons, tip of the cap to you. I have nothing negative to say about that. I don't care what you give up to go up there and get him. I think Isaiah Simmons is a superstar, but I don't think he's going to make it past 4. So, you know, that's a difficult one for me to see coming in. But you're right. The Browns do have the luxury of taking best available athlete. Let's get some more Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get some more of your take on what you want your favorite team to do in the draft. Chris in Pennsylvania, what do you got? What do you want your team to do?
Well, I'm calling about the Eagles. I'd like to see them, if they can't move up to between that 11 to 15 range to grab one of the big three wide receivers, I'd like to see him stay put at 21, grab either the linebacker from Oklahoma or LSU, and then come back in the second round and grab, Hamlin from Penn State.
That's actually, Chris, that's a great plan, by the way. You're mentioning Queen and Murray would be the two linebackers, and really that's dealer's choice on which you prefer. I would think one of them may be available. That might be a little bit late for him, but Hamlin's definitely going to be there for you, I would think, in the second round. So that's a great plan of action for the Eagles. I don't think they can get any of the top wide receivers without moving up, but they will have their pick of the litter with some very good ones. Let's get some more Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And it comes in the form of pressure. You guys are talking about what you want your favorite team to do. Well, the question is, going into this draft, who's under more pressure? Is it Bill Belichick or is it Bill O'Brien? Stephen A. chimed in on that today on First Take.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's not, you can't even mention them in the same class. Bill Belichick is a 6-time champion. Bill Belichick went to the Super Bowl 9 times. Bill Belichick is universally recognized as the greatest coach of this generation, if not ever. Are you kidding me? Bill O'Brien has had a winning record in 5 of the 6 seasons he's been coach of the Texans. Okay, he's won about 54% of the games. He's been to the playoffs 4 times. He's won 2 playoff games. One doesn't even count in my estimation. First time they went to the playoffs in 2015, they lost 30-0 to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs before they had Patrick Mahomes. The very next year, they beat Oakland in a wild card game. But if you remember, Max, they didn't have their quarterback, okay? Derek Carr, they didn't have him. He was hurt. They had Connor Cook as their starting quarterback, all right? As far as I'm concerned, Bill O'Brien only really won 1 playoff game, and that was against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, which was 22-19 just a few months ago. And, oh, by the way, that was ultimately sullied. Why? Because up 24-0, all right, in the divisional playoff game against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, it's one thing to lose. But to give up 41 straight unanswered points, I mean, give me a break. And then what do? Of course, it's Romeo Crennel's fault. You get rid of the defensive coordinator, just like acquisitions and all of that stuff was Rick Smith's fault. So you got rid of him as the GM. You somehow pulled that off, okay? And then not only that, now you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, your star quarterback, Deshaun Watson's good friend, alumni member at Clemson, his boy, and by the way, one of the great weapons we've seen at the wide receiver spot, a future Hall of Famer if he continues to play the way that he's playing. This is Bill O'Brien's resume, and he has less pressure than Bill Belichick? Please, please, nothing to think about here, nothing.
Well, look, Bill O'Brien is a good coach, good enough coach, and a bad GM, and everyone knows that. Now, is his job on the line in a different way than Belichick? Sure. Is there pressure in that way? More real-world pressure in that way? Yeah, you could argue. Just like the guy who may or may not make the team, he's on the bubble. You know, there's more pressure on him to perform in any regular season game than maybe the star. But would you say there's more pressure on him to perform in a regular season game than Michael Jordan? And, well, I can't even use Jordan because he never got to a Game 7 in the finals, only 6 games. But then the star player in Game 7 of the finals with the ball in his hand? No. And that's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, the pressure is coming from history. It's on his legacy. Same as Tom Brady. Look, I'm here saying, look, what is the number one, really the number one debate in sports the last 20 years? Is it more Belichick or Brady? I mean, that's what, certainly in the New England region. But really, that's a national debate. Is it more Belichick or Brady? Now, I think it's obviously more Belichick. But just as I'm sitting here saying, look, there's a lot of pressure on Tom Brady now. He chose to do this to himself. There's absolutely a ton of pressure on Bill Belichick. Tom Brady left him without Garoppolo, without a real backup quarterback, with experience. And Garoppolo was the guy, obviously, that Belichick wanted to move on to. According to reports, Brady went to Kraft, did an end around Belichick, the GM, just like Bill O'Brien, the GM and the coach, and got Garoppolo shipped out of town. People are down on the Patriots, at least not the odds makers who still have them winning 9 games, but most of the pundits and the fans, they are losing so much on defense and their offense is a mess. Now they don't have Tom Brady. Oh, it's going to be that Buffalo got better. Oh, it's going to be a problem for New England. The bottom line is if Bill Belichick falls flat on his face, if he has a losing record after Mike Tomlin without his quarterback or second string or third string quarterback went 8-8 last year, do you know what they will say, Stephen A.? They will say, oh, really, look at this. It was, especially if Tom Brady succeeds in Tampa, it was Tom Brady all along. Look at Belichick with Cleveland. He couldn't do anything before he got to the Patriots. There is a ton of historical pressure, of pressure in a bigger dimensional way than it is on Bill O'Brien, who sure has the pressure of his job.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. That's some straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Every team's feeling pressure now, and we're asking you to chime in. What do you want your favorite team to do in the NFL draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. Tell us what you want your favorite team to do that will have you popping bottles and celebrating social distancing with your friends. We're going to get some of your take plus coming up. The Atlanta Falcons, QB continued. You'll hear what the thoughts are on Matt Ryan and the Falcons. That's all coming up. First take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you guys, what do you want? What's your favorite scenario? What would make you pop bottles and virtually high-five all your buddies for your favorite NFL team? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you give us your take on what you want your favorite team to do in the draft. What's going to make you just ecstatic? Don't forget, speaking of ecstatic, tune into The Last Dance. This weekend, it's behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. 10-part series began this past Sunday, continues every Sunday beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Got to be late because they got the naughty words in them. Afterwards, make sure to listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby. Immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. In the meantime, the NFL draft just a couple of days away, and what they've been doing on First Take as we get ready for it is a little series we like to do, QB continued. So they take a look at a different team and quarterback and what to expect from that team and quarterback coming in to the next season. Dante Fowler, remember, former Ram, is now an Atlanta Falcon. Dante Fowler had an offer on the table but chose to leave the Rams to go play for Atlanta instead. So he was on First Take today talking about the quarterback situation, Matt Ryan, and particularly about the Atlanta Falcons. This is a newly minted Atlanta Falcon, Dante Fowler, today from First Take.
Oh, I'm excited. Just be playing, you know, those elite type of quarterbacks twice a year. They have a great offensive lineman, so it's definitely going to up my level to get to that quarterback.
Appreciate you being on the show, Dante. I got to ask why the Falcons, obviously Matt Ryan and those boys can play. They've got an offense. The ATL obviously is a sensational city. There is no question about that.
Sure.
But from a football standpoint, the Falcons have underachieved. I'd like to know why the Falcons. I'm sure you had other options.
The Falcons, you know, I just thought it was a great place, like you said, a great place and a great culture for me personally. Just where I come from, just being able to relate to the city. And, you know, the way I could just adapt so quickly there just would be really, really great. And just another thing, for defensive-wise, I just knew they needed a pass rusher. And I was able to watch him. Dan Quinn, he coached me coming up, recruiting me out of high school and things like that. So I thought it was the best spot. I like the defense players. I just like the culture. I like what they have built around their team. And I think all they need is just a little few pieces. Getting to a quarterback was one of them, and I think if we come all together as one team, it would be something special.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. Now, as we do with QB Continued, we want to take our series and we want to take it a step further. So we're going to do that in just a moment, you know, but you have to look at the Falcons particularly is one of the most difficult teams to figure out because it was a tale of two seasons for Atlanta last year. I mean, the season started off so poorly and we were looking around thinking that everybody was going to get fired when in fact, then the last half of the season, they were incredible. I went into the season thinking the Falcons were going to be one of the teams to beat looked like an absolute moron, which is nothing new for me, the first half of the season, and the back half, it's like something suddenly clicked. So the question is, how sustainable is that, and who are the Falcons moving forward? For that, we're now joined by ESPN Falcons reporter Vaughn McClure. Vaughn, thanks for your time. I hope you and yours are all safe and healthy and everybody's good. We appreciate you coming on to join us. I was just mentioning a tale of two teams, essentially, for the Falcons. The first half of the season, the second half of the season looked drastically different. So in your mind, who are the Falcons coming into this year?
Well, I think that's something they can definitely build off of, no doubt about it. You know, I talked to owner Arthur Blank after the season. He's very excited about how they ended the season. You know, one of the big changes they made, of course, Raheem Morris, he moved from wide receivers over to work with the defensive backs, and he also helped call the defense in the second half of the season. And they definitely got better defensively, and guess what? They made Raheem Morris the defensive coordinator. So I think that's going to be a big piece of the equation moving forward this season, him being a defensive coordinator, them having Dirk Cutter as their offensive coordinator, Matt Ryan and all those weapons he has with Julio Jones and now Todd Gurley. So I think if they could put those two things together, if they can have the defense play at a pretty solid high level, I think they can compete, no doubt about it.
Well, wasn't there sort of an expectation? I mean, we forget that the Falcons were expected. I mean, they were at one point a very good explosive defensive team and then sort of fell off the rails. So, you know, where has this thing gone wrong that the Falcons haven't been able to better maximize?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I just think overall, in general, if you look back at last year, I don't think they had the balance that they needed to have offensively. Okay, you know, we had their weapons, like I said, with Julio Jones. They also had Calvin Ridley, but they didn't have that run game like they had during the Super Bowl season. Remember, Devontae Freeman was a big part of that run game that took them to the Super Bowl. Devontae Freeman wasn't the same guy. They released Devontae Freeman. They're bringing in Todd Gurley, who's had some injury problems himself with the knee. They're hoping that he can provide that balance in the running game. And now if they get that balance going, if you got a guy like Todd Gurley who can score some touchdowns, and you got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and now you got a different tight end in Hayden Hurst, he replaces Austin Hooper, they hope all those weapons together can score some touchdowns and really have them have a high-scoring offense this season.
We're talking to ESPN Falcons reporter Vaughn McClure. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. And you mentioned Todd Gurley as a signing. So, you know, when you look at that, what's a realistic expectation for somebody that at one point looked so great and then has had so many injury issues over the last couple of years?
Well, I think we got to pump the brakes for a minute. You know, everything sounds great. You know, this is a kid that went to the University of Georgia. All the fans are very excited about what he brings to the table. He was a 2017 offensive MVP of the league. So, you know, you have to pump the brakes, though, because he hasn't even passed his physical yet. You know, he's had some problems with that left knee. He talked to us on the conference call. He said, hey, guys, you know what? I had that surgery 6 years ago. It doesn't bother me as much as you people think. And guess what? I played 15 games last season, and it's not like I sat out a bunch of games. So we still have to see. Like I said, once he passes that physical, I think the Falcons will feel very much more comfortable about the situation. But what I think the big thing that's going to benefit him is the fact that he doesn't have to carry the whole load. They got about three other running backs that they're counting on too. And also, we talk about that offense. I mean, you got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. It's not all about him, okay? So he's just got to be a contributor to that offense. He doesn't have to be the workhorse guy. So we'll see how he contributes in this offense this season.
You mentioned the offense, and obviously we can't have that conversation, especially in QB continued, without talking about Matt Ryan. So what's your assessment on a realistic expectation for Matt Ryan going into this season?
Well, you know, one thing I know about Matt, I've been about Matt a long time, and you know what? He's a perfectionist. He's a guy that really takes things, you know, and he wants to improve every year. He's always looking for little ways to improve his own game and everything. And I think that's the same thing he's going to do, even with the virtual offseason going on right now. He's going to look for little elements, little things that he can do to be better, whether that means, you know, the way he runs the offense, whether that means him rolling out, making plays out of the pocket, stuff like that. I think he's always looking for ways to improve his game. So I expect Matt to continue to play at a high level. Now, he's getting older. There's no doubt about it, 35 years old now and everything like that. But I think he's got such a great grasp of this offense. He's got Dirk Cutter that he's here with for a second time in his career. I think he's going to be better in his second year with Cutter's offense and everything. And again, if you get him the right weapons around him, which he has that from a receiving standpoint, if you get him a good running back that can provide that balance, I think it's only going to be a great thing for Matt moving forward also.
Vaughn, Atlanta has the 16th pick in the NFL draft in the first round. What do you expect him to do Thursday night?
Trade up. I think that's the talk right now. Everybody thinks that they're going to trade up. And, you know, Thomas Dimitroff is always open for business. That's a guy that he makes that known every year that he's willing to move. I mean, everybody talks about 2011. Remember, they traded 5 draft picks to move up to number 6 to get Julio Jones. Will they make another move like that? I don't know. They don't have the ammo. But I think they're going to see what they can do. They need a playmaking defensive player. And when I say a playmaker, I'm talking about a guy like maybe a Derrick Brown, a defensive tackle that can do some good things. Maybe that one of the cornerbacks, you know, that can really shut down wide receivers such as Aduka or C.J. Henderson. You know, I think they will consider making a move, and I think they've already made calls to make that move. So we'll see if they can get that impact player that they really need on defense. But, yeah, I do think that Thomas Dimitroff is going to try to wheel and deal come Thursday night.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at VXMcClure23. Vaughn McClure, I appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and thanks for your insight.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
The Falcons are going to be one of the interesting teams because, man, there is a lot of smoke. We don't know if there's fire, but there's definitely a lot of smoke right now, as Vaughn mentioned, about them moving up. So, you know, if they're moving up and targeting one of those epic defensive playmakers, you're talking about needing to move up into the top 7. It's going to take that sort of ammunition to get one of the absolute top guys. In the meantime, we're asking you guys what you want your favorite team to do in the NFL draft. We're going to throw a little bit of an audible here. I want just your take. We're going to take it for the last portion of the show today. Load up the lines. We're going to go just to you guys. We're going to get your take on what you want your favorite team to do in the draft. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We're going to end just you guys blowing through draft, giving me what your favorite take is, what's going to have you celebrating Thursday night. We're going to take your take coming up next. First take your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the second hour of the show today, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking. Reimagine what's in your wallet. Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We're blowing things up. We're getting straight to you. We're going to let you guys take over the end of the show. I've been asking you all day, what's your dream scenario? What do you want your team to do in the draft? What's going to make you hop on the phone with your buddies, FaceTime everybody, virtual high five, pop bottles, and celebrate like a maniac? You can tweet me at Jason Fitzryan on Twitter. Said, as a 49ers fan, I want this. San Francisco trades their first, number 13, D Ford, and their other first, number 31, to New England for their first, number 23, their third, and Stephon Gilmore. Good Lord, I love how in-depth everybody's given. Cy says, Ruggs from Alabama to the Chiefs. Cy, if the Chiefs get Ruggs, I don't know what I'm going to do. As a Raiders fan, I'm not ready for that. Okay, be kind to me. I can't handle that. We've gotten a ton of your take coming in. Two have fallen to the Panthers is one we've had a few different notes for. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Wayne in California, what's your take? What do you want your favorite team to do in the draft?
So my first question is would you give up draft picks to actually get Isaiah Simmons? And if I had the 2 picks, I would take Jerry Jeudy and then the next available wide receiver at 19. But first I would call the Jets up and see if they'd be interested in 19 for Adams. And put Adams and Abraham at safety together. And that's my take.
All right, Wayne, across the board, number one, if you're telling me that the Raiders, my beloved Raiders, at 12 and 19 are going to walk away with Jeudy and Adams, my God, I'm doing cartwheels up and down the street. I'll probably get arrested for running naked through the streets. Let's just be arrested. Like, that's the level of excitement I would have for that. Number two, I don't think you're wrong, though, that the trading down or out of 19, I think, is a viable possibility. And yes, if you're telling me that the Raiders are trading up and they're using draft equity to get Isaiah Simmons, still doing that all day long. I think Isaiah Simmons is an incredible player. So I'm all in on that. Most of those scenarios you just gave me are going to have me running through the streets. There's no doubt about it. Eric in Washington, what's your take? What do you want your favorite team to do in the draft?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm a Rams fan. We have 52, our first pick. And I'd just like to see them go with the top offensive lineman still available with the with our first pick. Second pick, maybe a little cornerback help, so we got some depth there, and then maybe a wide receiver with our third, and then after that it doesn't just depth. So that's all I'm looking for.
Well, and I love the concept on it. I will say this. I don't know when you start to look at the corner market, I don't know how many defensive backs you're going to love getting into the second round. I mean, it feels like there's a pretty drastic fall off, but at 52, an offensive lineman is a great selection because a boring draft is a good draft. I mean, the Rams 52 and 57 in the second round. So two picks close together, a lot of opportunity for movement whenever you have that in general. Ken in Virginia. Ken, what do you got? What's your favorite scenario for your team?
Yes, sir. I'm a Washington fan, Redskins, and from our experience, we haven't really had a lot of luck in the draft in a while. But number two in the draft, I say let's not mess around. You got two options. Either you go with the guaranteed horse, you know, the beast in the draft, Chase Young, the guy's a generational player, beef up that defense. You can't fix both sides of the ball in one season, so might as well make that defense elite, you know, give quarterbacks a headache all day long. Other than getting the Kings ransom, a bunch of number one picks over the next few years and this season, I say you just go with the guy, man, the generational player, the guy who's going to give deep offensive headaches for the next couple of years, man.
You are so right about that. Chase Young is spectacular, and he's going to make that Redskins defense great out of the gates. To me, it would take a King's ransom to even consider anything. The Redskins just sit there, better to be lucky than good. They're going to be lucky that they get a great player at number two. Let's go to my guy Amos in California. Amos, what's your draft hope for your favorite team?
What's up, Jason? The Broncos. I want them to jump in front of the 49ers, Raiders, and Jets and grab CeeDee Lamb. Or my dream situation would be for them to trade the three and get Jeff Okuda. I just want to say something about the first two picks. Look at that. Look at that draft with Cam Newton and Von Miller. I was taking away anything with Cam Newton. But look where he is now. If you take Joe Burrow number one, it could be the same thing because you got an elite edge rusher in Chase Young.
Well, and look, Amos, I would have no problem with somebody coming in and deciding to take Chase Young first overall. I think he's that good, and you make a great point. And, man, the Broncos moving up to get CeeDee, it's something that's viable out there. I mean, the Broncos are going to be looking at opportunities to try and move around for it. Nate in Virginia, what do you got? What's your take on what you want your favorite team to do?
Hey, what's going on? So hopefully being an Eagles fan that they actually take a receiver this year, considering how weak the offense looked the entire year. Best case scenario, one of those top three drop back in a combination of CeeDee or Judy or Ruggs. I don't know if Howie Roseman feels that aggressive to trade up and get one of them, but if not, then getting Jefferson out of LSU wouldn't really be that bad either.
Yeah, I think Jefferson out of LSU is a good target for you to have there because I don't see any of the three fall into 21. Philadelphia could be a big, big, big candidate to trade back in my mind. If they're looking at wide receiver, they can still get a ton of value. They can trade back. They can pick up more equity. I love this draft talk. You guys are crushing it. We're going to keep draft talk coming all week long.